This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Duchesne, nice job. Sends it across. Rantanen in front. Score! Rantanen again! It's a hat trick in Winnipeg. Hintz was right in front, but it's Rantanen who remains scorching hot. That man is out of his mind.
You know what happened in game one? What's going to go down in game two this evening? Same puck drop in Winnipeg. And let's preview it right now. I'll tell you what, these hockey guys are the best. They're entertaining. They're accessible. They answer. They hop on the fan cam. They're the total opposite of these NBA people who I can't stand. Yeah. These two goods act like the league wasn't dying before the playoffs take place. With that, we welcome in the color analyst for the Winnipeg Jets, Mitchell Clinton, here on the home of the Cowboys and Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, Mitchell. Do you like that intro?
I do very much. Thank you. It makes it even more worth it to be up at 8 a.m. with you guys.
What time are you waking up after these 8:50 puck drops?
I'll tell you what. So there's pros and cons, right? So the pro side of things is that the morning skate today is not for another 3 hours. So after this, I've got time to like go to the gym and feel like an athlete before I go and cover some real athletes. The bad point is, yeah, I'm not getting home till after midnight. And it's real tough to get out of bed anytime before, I don't know, 8:30, 9 o'clock.
But so you're a color analyst without that NHL experience.
What's that?
You're a color analyst without that NHL experience.
100%. Yeah, for sure.
How many of you guys in the league are there? I mean, that's a pretty cool achievement. You don't see that in other leagues very often.
Yeah. You know what? It's pretty cool. Like the opportunity just kind of came to me. I've been with, I started working for the Winnipeg Jets back in 2013, way back when web content and social media was just kind of becoming a thing. And so I've been around the organization for a long time, around a lot of our broadcasters, around a lot of our players, and learned a lot of things and still learning every single day. But yeah, the opportunity just kind of came to me a couple of years ago and I jumped at it. Obviously, I'm one of those guys that I don't like to really, you know, sit around and plan things. I like to be kind of immersed in it with the teams. And this has been one of the best ways to do it. And it's been a great story. The Winnipeg Jets this year. And in terms of how many of us, I guess you could say, that are around the league, there's, like you said, there's not many. So I make sure that I'm bringing my best every day, because who knows when, you know, a former player might want to jump in and offer his analysis, or her analysis for that matter.
Mitchell, what can you compare this Mikko Rantanen run to, if anything, that you've seen or covered?
Oh boy, nothing playoff wise. Honestly, I mean, when the Winnipeg Jets selected Patrick Laine back in 2016 and he was playing in the 17-18 season with the team, there was a road trip, I think, where Winnipeg went through New York, where it seemed, I think we played three games out there, and it seemed every single game he had a couple goals. And it was just like the team didn't really have a whole lot going offensively, but all of a sudden Laine would pop on the ice and bang, it's in the back of the net. And all of a sudden Winnipeg's up 2-1. That's as close as I can come to. You know, Mikko Rantanen last year when he was with Colorado against the Winnipeg Jets had 9 points in that 5-game playoff series. Oh. Four of them were goals. You know, two were goals, 7 assists. But the goals that he scored against Winnipeg in game one were near carbon copies of what he was able to do with the Avalanche in the previous series last year, where it was just go to the net, get that deflection, get that rebound. And obviously, as you guys know, he's a big body player that's hard to move out of there. So obviously Winnipeg's gonna have to make some adjustments, but he's been a player that, even going back to the Colorado days, has been a problem for the Winnipeg Jets for a little while.
Mitchell Clinton, the color analyst for the Jets, joining us here before game two on 105.3 The Fan.
The narrative of Hellebuck versus the reality. The narrative on him obviously is great goalie, falls apart of the postseason. Is that the reality?
He's the type of guy that will always say, even if, and I'm sure Ottinger is probably similar in some regard, even if it's a 2-on-0 with three perfect passes and it beats him, you're not expecting your goalie to make that save. Hellebuck will be like, I should have had that. So that's kind of how he is, a little glimpse into how he is. But, you know, after game four against the St. Louis Blues back in Winnipeg, he had a media availability where he said, I have to be better, just flat out. I need to be better. My team needs me to be better. I don't want to let these guys down. And, you know, I thought, yes, he gets pulled one more time in St. Louis, but in game seven, when Winnipeg really needed him to lock it down as they were trying to come back, he made those stops. You know, we talked about the Mikko Rantanen deflection goal. That's something that Winnipeg defensively takes a lot of pride in, their ability to let their goaltender see these shots and let them come through clean. So I think the players in front of them know that they have some responsibility in that. But at the same time, there's ones that Hellebuck will want back. And that's just kind of how the playoffs have been. That being said, the second half of the game against St. Louis in game seven, when it was really on the line, I thought Connor Hellebuck got to his game. There was the Colton Parayko chance off the rush where Parayko's joining the rush late. He comes in, he gets the pass. He's letting that thing go clean from the top of the circles, maybe even closer to the hash marks. And Connor Hellebuck's right at the top of his crease, basically saying, beat me. If we're going to lose, you're going to beat me. And Hellebuck made the stop, no rebound. And I thought he looked actually pretty good in game one. It looked very familiar to me, the game that he played against Dallas. Now, you know, obviously the deflection goals happen, the rebound goals happen. That's just kind of how a series is going to go. Jake Oettinger made one more save, and I would anticipate Connor Hellebuck will try to match that come game two tonight.
All right, Mitchell, come. We just wanted to feel you out here before we ask the real questions. Like, come clean with us, because this guy, Hellebuck, annoys the hell out of us, man. Like, what type of dude is he? He's got his little eye training that they showed the other night.
The most studied goalie ever.
Most studied goalie. Like, forget about his game. What type of dude is this guy?
You would be very surprised at how, I would say, relaxed he is off the ice. And even when he's going to start in net, he and Dylan Sandberg have this routine that they essentially do where it's just, and most goalies are like this, where they have kind of their one shooter and they kind of work through some drills to make sure they're good to go. And they've kind of turned it into a joke, honestly, where they're waving to each other. Hellebuck's working on saucer passes to him. Like, just, it's a way to stay loose off the ice, man. This is a guy that loves his family, loves to fish. He's been fishing ever since he was a kid growing up in Michigan. And I mean, even over the course of, you know, some road trips, if there's a couple of days where there's practice days and, you know, he doesn't have a game to ramp up for, you know, he'll find a way to go fishing on the road. Like, he just will. That's just how he is. And loves to be, you know, part of the group. There's a group of them that have really taken up ice fishing in Winnipeg. So that's a big wow. thing up here where obviously snow, ice. Dustin Byfuglien was actually the one that taught him, and he latched onto it really quickly and absolutely loves it. So yeah, man, away from the ice, Connor Hellebuck, he's funny. He's a big part of this group. The eye training thing is something that I've always wondered why he does, but I think we're starting to see more and more goaltenders start to do it. The way that, you know, he justifies it is, you know, it's getting that nervous system, that fast twitch system ready to roll for game time. And I mean, obviously in the regular season, you can't argue with the results. Now it's a matter of finding a way to, you know, do it in the postseason, similar to how he did it in 2018 when Winnipeg went to the conference final.
Jets color analyst Mitchell Clinton joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Okay, Mitchell, so we started off talking about Mikko Rantanen and just the run that he's on right now. After the game and reading some of the quotes coming out of Winnipeg, you know, Adam Lowry, Mark Scheifele, like, they're all talking, their quotes are pretty much, it seems like, focusing exclusively on Mikko Rantanen. Is it a factor where you think Winnipeg's coming out of this first game and just saying, man, if we can just control him, if we can just get that under control, we feel really good about our chances here?
I don't think it's necessarily one player, but I do think that this series against Dallas has a distinctly different feel than the one against St. Louis. And I think it took Winnipeg a big chunk of the game to kind of realize that. That St. Louis series, man, was... what was the total? Something around 625 hits over the course of seven games, I think is what the NHL stats were, which, you know, in some buildings can be a little inflated. Some buildings are on a little bit of the lower side, but that just gives you a set. What's that? 90 hits a game over.
Yeah.
Right. So it seems like, and then you go into game one and Dallas had 24 hits in the game and it wasn't really like they were chasing anything, which honestly, I think suits Winnipeg a little bit better because they've got guys on their team that want to make plays similar to Dallas. So for Winnipeg defensively, I think it comes down to sorting things out a little bit better in the neutral zone. And Adam Lowry kind of talked about it yesterday. There's a play on the first rant and goal where, you know, Adam Lowry feels he could have, you know, closed off Sam Steele a little bit more. And all of a sudden he doesn't have that clean entry and that ability to cut back. Right. So it's almost like it's details leading up to the actual goal being scored that Winnipeg feels they need to be a little bit better at. They're well aware about, you know, what Tyler Seguin's done to this team over the course of a number of years in the Central Division. They know what Wyatt Johnston is capable of. You know what I mean? So it's not like they're necessarily focusing in on one player, even though Mikko Rantanen is, if you're going to do that, probably the one player you do want to zone in on right now. But they're well aware of Dallas's depth, and that's something that they talked about coming into this series. So I would expect them to more or less focus on some defensive structure details more so than one player.
Mitchell, injury status for Morrissey, Stanley, are they going to be good to go?
We'll see this morning, but you know, based on what we've seen the last couple of days, I wouldn't doubt that Josh Morrissey is probably pushing to get in. He would want to be, you know, jumping back into the lineup as quickly as possible. I mean, obviously it was a huge boost, I think, for the Winnipeg Jets to have Mark Scheifele back. Like that's the team just kind of in terms of where players are playing at the forward position and where they are in the lineup, it's a significant piece. And it kind of has everybody slotted where they were over the course of the regular season. So that's a big piece for them. For Josh Morrissey, obviously he would want to get right back in. This is the type of series that I think he can be effective in. For Logan Stanley, we'll see. I would be curious to see if, you know, how he did over the last 24 hours or so. Both he and Morrissey were on the ice with kind of that Black Aces and Scratches group yesterday. So I'd imagine they took a little bit more contact than maybe in a standard practice yesterday. So we'll see what Morning Skate brings this morning in just under 3 hours.
Jets analyst Mitchell Clinton joining us before game two tonight here on Sean and RJ. Here's my dumb question of the day, maybe even the week. Double teaming in hockey. How does it work? Does it have to be five collectively skating? Has it been implemented on Mikko? Is it time to implement that on Mikko? How does double teaming in hockey work?
It's kind of hard to do because of switch offs, right? So you have to be able to communicate quickly with your teammate at a certain point when the game is moving quickly, right? Mm-hmm. So the best thing Winnipeg can do, honestly, is keep the play in the corner and along the walls, right? And keep Rantanen there. That's where you can kind of swarm a little bit. There are some defensive zone systems in the National Hockey League where if your opposition gets that puck low in your zone, you kind of swarm around, you outnumber. And that's kind of what Winnipeg tries to do down low. If you're able to win that battle there, then, you know, really a lot of the offensive zone chances that teams are going to be able to generate are going to be either from the outside or next to none. In terms of, so that's probably the closest you get to a double team. More often than not, it's switching off and finding a way to communicate when, say, it's a forward in the neutral zone handing a player off to a defenseman, and then that forward's got to find that next guy, right? So more often than not, you're looking at what is your neutral zone system, how are they getting through there, and what is the best way to limit. One of the phrases that Winnipeg likes to use is called on it and above it. So what that means is you take a player like Nathan MacKinnon or Connor McDavid. They want to be above that player as they come out of the zone, because what that does is they can't build that straight line speed to be able to, you know, blast through that neutral zone, work a give a go, and away they go. They've got to generate that speed another way. They got to go a little bit more east to west, whatever that may be, right? So that eliminates their opportunity to be creative through the neutral zone. Rantanen's a little bit of a different player. You almost have to pick him up off the rush and find him in the zone at when he's about to be a threat, if not before that. That's something Adam Lowry touched on yesterday, especially from a defensive standpoint, whether that's defensemen picking him up, coming out of those corner battles, going to the front of the net, take that stick, or, you know, just make sure that he's kind of a non-factor in terms of keeping him to the outside, not being able to get to that middle ice.
Mitchell, before we let you go, are you surprised Edmonton's up 2-0 considering Vegas has gotten up to fast starts in both the games?
A little bit. I mean, being in Canada, obviously you see a lot of Edmonton Oilers games. You learn not to count out Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. But I think for Edmonton, it's what they've been able to do with those two not off the ice. That's been the most impressive part of what they've been able to do. Yes, the comebacks are there. That's a big thing. But one of the, I don't know if you want to say knocks on the Oilers in previous years as well, if 97 and 29 aren't on the ice, what are they generating? This year, it seems like they're generating a ton, and that's making them a lot more difficult to deal with, even for a team as good as Vegas.
Mitchell, we really appreciate the time. Thanks for waking up with us. Enjoy the workout and enjoy game two tonight.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Mitchell Clinton joining us on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Nice get, Peyton Phillip Russell, for game two this evening here on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Did Bruce Bochy make a Jack Leiter mistake yesterday? And there is a report coming in that Bill Belichick's girlfriend has been banned. That's next on 105.3 The Fan.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
3-0 lead. He swings here and hits one toward the monster. Langford going back. He stops to look up, and it's out of here. Into the first row of seats just above the green monster, and straightaway left. Devers, the opposite field shot, his 6th home run of the year.
Hixie with the call here on your home for Rangers baseball. It's 105 through the Fan. I'm Sean Tarif alongside RJ Choppy and Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. And the runners in scoring position is a major problem. I overreacted with an emotional high to the Rangers and just kind of forgot that they've now lost 6 straight series with a record of 18-20, 4th place in the American League West. Thursday, they were 0-10, and yesterday, 0-7, 5th time shutout on the season. And you're asking and wondering whether Boch may have made a Jack Leiter mistake?
So if you go back to the Mariners game, 3rd time through the order was the tough spot for him. And It's not really a question if it was a mistake or not. It's like, what is he trying to do? Is he just trying to see what lighter is like? Some pitchers, and we've seen this across the sport, and as the sport's gotten more analytical.
Sure.
They're very scared to have a guy go the third time through the order. Blake Snell is notorious. He is a two-time through the order, get him out kind of guy. What's that?
Got you down.
Blake Snell, two times, get out. It's hardly ever where he goes. He never goes beyond six innings. Just go look at his numbers. It's crazy. And for a guy to win a Cy Young like that is even more remarkable. So Jack Leiter against Seattle, if you go look just at his box score, it doesn't look great. But if you go deeper into it and it's like, all right, you know, that was third time through the order and he got lit up. If you go back to yesterday, he goes out there for the bottom of the fifth. Now, you're in a brutal spot of your Bochy. You have two choices. You either send him out there in the bottom of the fifth and risk the third time through the order because it was 9-1-2, or you force your bullpen to throw five innings, knowing you don't have an off day. You've got to travel, right? You're going to Detroit. So it's really a no-win situation. Fifth inning, first batter, second through the order for Rafael Estill, double. Then they get to the top of the order. You get a ground out, moves the runner over, then you get a single. So that's one run, right? So now it's 3-0. He sends him back out there for the sixth. So now we are 1-2. We're now the five-hole hitter. Starts the inning. It's Abreu. He flies out. Trevor Story walks, and they pull him. So obviously when they get to the sixth, it was going to be, hey, we'll let you go. First guy that gets on base, you're coming out. Totally normal thing. But it's like, all right, do we have a... This is where Bochy is now. He's going to have to make a decision, and Chris Young's had to help out with this, obviously, because it's all collab now. What are we going to do with Jack when it gets to the third time through the order?
Bochy said he was happy with his stuff. He said he had really good stuff, just didn't have the finishing pitches. So he was happy with that, but not the finishing stuff.
And if you don't have the finishing stuff, that's even more pronounced when you get to the third time through the order because they've already seen...
Yeah.
Generally, through two at-bats, they've seen every pitch you're going to have.
I think it was Sean McFarland who tweeted, Leiter filled up the erratic pitcher bingo card yesterday. Walk, hit by a pitch, balk, wild pitch in his first two innings. And a lot of people thought it was going to get much worse after the first two innings. Bases loaded, wild pitch, scoring a run, 5 1/3, 4 earned, 3 hits, 4 walks, 3 strikeouts.
Yeah, and he had, at the time in the fifth inning, when he got to the fifth, he had retired. Like 8 in a row or something like that. I mean, he had done a nice job of settling down. But then you get to the third time through the order and that where everything kind of falls apart.
I mean, if he's just unable to go three times through the order, like if that's just never going to be the case, then Kylie McDaniel's always been right about him. He's a reliever.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Which Sandler said would be great for the number two pick.
Right. Yeah, the reality is that it's just that's the way a lot of pitchers are now. They want to get you through five innings and that's it. And the problem is that, you know, if you give up any kind of a string of hits together in one of the first few innings, you can't get through five without going to a third time through with some of these guys.
There is a report that the Tolos are sending us that has us popping open the keg on a Friday.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Oh, I win. Google me.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
Pablo Torre is reporting that Bill Belichick's girlfriend has been banned from the Tar Heels football facility. Citing multiple UNC sources, he said that the decision was made by members of the university's administration in the wake of the viral CBS Sunday Morning interview. Two sources at the university tell me there's been a decision that was made last week by the higher-ups, not just in the state of North... The decision was that Jordan Hudson is no longer allowed in the football building. She is not allowed on the football field. Don't think you'll be hearing much from Jordan moving forward. Bill Belichick's family is extraordinarily concerned by what has transpired. One Belichick family source tells me, quote, there's deep worry for how detrimental she can be, not just for North Carolina, but Bill's legacy and reputation and everything he has built and worked for over the decades. In fact, the family has been digging in to Jordan Hudson as well. Wow! I don't believe this. I don't believe that Bill would allow it.
I didn't believe Bill would allow Jordan Hudson to run his life the way she has. He's true. Given up all that control. So, I mean, I just think he's...
What a simp. What a soft hypocrite he is. Can you imagine? And Rob Gronkowski has this clip. I think it was with Edelman. And see if you can find it, Pepe. I had sent it a long time ago. He was talking about girlfriends and how Belichick... Imagine someone bringing their girl around or anyone around that's a friend. He freaked out over Tom Brady having a trainer. And now you do this, hypnotized.
Man, hypnotized. We've said it before. That is undefeated. It is brought down.
Bobby goes in the commercial break. He goes, it can't be that good, right? And I said, yeah, it can.
Yeah, when you're 70-something.
But again, like we're talking about like where he's at in his life. Like he's not your normal 70-year-old. Like
he's not getting a girl that looks like that, I don't believe, consistently. That's 24.
Not consistently.
Yeah.
But there's got to be at least one other out there that's not as high maintenance.
Man, she's given him a second jolt of life.
Yes.
She's 50 years younger. He's a 70-something-year-old. He is on the back. I mean, he's not even on the back nine of his life. He's on hole like 16.
Yeah.
All right. And she's the cart girl that comes up on 16, which is a few holes left. You can't make it. You can't make it to the clubhouse. Can't make it to the clubhouse. You need that extra beer.
This is what Gronk would say Bill did back in the day.
He always told us there's three things out there that don't get caught up in. What were the three things? What was the trifecta, Julian? Can you please explain the trifecta?
Mr. Gronk, would it be alcohol one?
Alcohol was one, and Coach Belichick did not partake in alcohol. I can tell you that.
Two, is it
assholes? Asshole is number two, and I would say Coach Belichick did partake in being an asshole at some times. But not anymore. I love him now. He's my favorite. Not anymore, though. All right, what's number three?
Number three, is that girls?
Yeah, girls. Yeah. Girls. And now he's all caught up with the girls. We love you, Coach. We love you.
He's really putting to rest all those rumors. Oh, he's too old. He can't connect with the younger generation. He's like, watch me. Watch me.
Well, wait, time out. He's not coaching anymore, though. So
maybe that he can be in the trifecta. Maybe
he's allowed to be in the trifecta. Watch out. He's going to be blacked out, hammered every night now.
Is there any celebrity or friend or family member that you've had that has undergone such a transformation? This is unbelievable.
Ooh.
This is a good unreal. Question. Like, I wonder if McAfee is happy. I don't think Belichick is on right now with McAfee. Mm-hmm. I wonder really if McAfee is happy. He doesn't have to ask and press Bill. Pat for all the fraternity. Yeah, rah, rah. He will press, and he has a nice way of asking the necessary questions. Yeah. I think he's an undercover, pretty good interviewer. I wonder if he's actually happy Bill's not on right now because Bill plays nice with him.
He does. Bill's also now, because he's a college coach, he's got it, right? It's a recruitment tool. It really is.
Would you be surprised if this story is true, that North Carolina told him no?
No. So this is
I understand North Carolina. I just don't know whether they have the power or the balls to do it.
10 days ago, so when this first started coming out, TMZ had put in their report when they were doing all the behind-the-scenes stuff on the interview and how it all went down. TMZ had a note in there that they said the UNC program, there's a growing sense around it that Hudson's involvement, quote, could become a problem, that it was starting to concern people there. So, I mean,
of all the things that were Bill Belichick question marks, coaching college, no experience,
right,
relating, being a jackass, bringing Michael Lombardi in.
It's a girl.
Going to that school. It's a girl.
It's a girl. That would have been bottom of my list of the things to worry about. But, I mean, she runs the show. She got Hard Knocks canceled.
And she forced her way into the Dunkin' Donuts commercial.
Yeah,
apparently.
that was a new report that we got just a couple days ago. Is that viral Dunkin' Donuts ad? Page Six had a report out there that it turns out that she was not initially supposed to be part of that. She just kind of showed up and forced her way into the commercial. And Bill just totally seeded and was like, okay, because he just figured, oh, it's a chance for her to make a good paycheck. But she like kind of bullied her way into this commercial, according to Page Six, and ultimately just, all right, I guess we're including Jordan Hudson in this commercial too.
It makes no sense.
Yeah, it does.
Well,
it makes a lot of sense.
It doesn't make sense that from the type of person Bill has been.
Yeah. Yes. Like, to allow any type of distraction like that. And now that I have the evidence, you're obviously biased. But when you look at her, you can see it, right? Her face.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, you know.
The eyes.
You know the story. The eyes.
I'll take a little sip.
She got that. Pepe don't care. Pepe don't care. Bobby has a story with video on the fan cam he wants to get to.
Dude, this is the most bizarre story I've ever seen. And Peyton's got the audio for this. This is a little bit of a longer clip, but I want to play this. This is an impact statement that was made in a court case this week. There was a road rage incident where a man was shot dead in Arizona in 2021. He was an Afghanistan war veteran. The guy was found guilty who had shot him. And they were doing jury sentencing and an impact statement. You know, when the people come in, the family members, and they just say, hey, this is what this has done to our family. And you basically just try to lobby the jurors for a harsher sentence. For the very first time in the history of American courts, they believe, according to news reports this week, a impact statement was delivered by the deceased through an AI video recreation of their voice being cloned and their video being cloned. And this is the video and the audio of his impact statement.
Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for being here today. It means a lot. I can't tell you how humbled I am for those that spoke up for me, everyone who flew in, took off work, those who are watching this remotely, and for everyone who has supported my family and loved ones through 3.5 years and 2 trials. I wish I could be with you all today. To your honor, Judge Lang, thank you for making yourself available to see this case to the end, especially when the rescheduled trial conflicted with your daughter's spring break. Thank you for listening to everyone today. Thank you for reading the flood of impact statements that came in before today that so many people wrote on my behalf. Every single one of them is meaningful and gives a glimpse into my life with each of them. To Gabriel Horcasitas, the man who shot me. It is a shame we encountered each other that day in those circumstances.
The heck?
In another life, we probably could have been friends. I believe in forgiveness and in God who forgives. I always have, and I still do.
Dude, I'm stunned a court would let you play this.
So, I was thinking about this. Like, this is not in front of the jury. This is just in front of the judge, right? Because the jury has already made their decision on.
The judge is doing the sentencing.
The judge is doing the sentencing. I would hope that a judge is not, the judge, a group of people, like, we can
influenced.
Be swayed. We can be influenced by this. A judge, I would think, probably not. I don't know.
I might be swayed the other way. To be honest, I would think this is so bizarre, and so I don't know what this attempt to play. But I'm stunned a court would allow you to put this in there. These are not his words. These are words written by somebody else. They cloned his voice. They played a clip of his voice. This is what he sounds like. That's what he looks like. They basically AI cloned this guy and put words in his mouth. I made it sound like, you know, oh, I'm so grateful that you guys were there. They put in these natural pauses of I'm glad you guys were here. Wow. It's just wild that that's where we're at in today's society.
Why George Pickens playing out his contract puts pressure on the Cowboys in other negotiations. That's next and below the belt right here on The Fan.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Has the George Pickens trade screwed up contract timelines for the Cowboys? It might have. It might put a little bit of more pressure on the Cowboys to get things done. And it's not even related to George Pickens' contract. Let's talk about it here in Below the Belt. George Pickens talked to the Dallas media over a conference call on Thursday. And he was asked about a possible extension here in Dallas.
I'm kind of where my feet are right now, to be honest. I'm not really thinking about contract talks. I'm just glad to be here at Cowboys right now and, you know, trying to build a winning culture.
And there's the winning culture line that Nick Harris referenced. That
six George times Pickens, in 12 minutes.
He was going back to that well, referencing it a few different times. That's the culture's the big line. this offseason. That's what everybody's leaning into.
Put on the cover of the media guide.
It's clear he's, will that be the shirts? Like, you know, Garrett always had the shirts and McCarthy had the slogans. Are we just going to get culture or something like that? But Todd Archer was writing. He was doing a back and forth Q&A. It was a Q&A with him, Brooke Pryor, and Jeremy Fowler, where they were just answering various Fallout questions. And they were talking about how the George Pickens trade affects the Cowboys. And Todd pointed out the complexities of banking on the franchise tag. Because we all were talking about that right after the trade happened. Like, hey, at the very least, you can franchise tag him. What if things don't work out with a number of your expiring deals? So who are you going to choose to expose to the market? The Cowboys faced this at the end of the 2019 season, where Dak was a free agent, Amari was a free agent. They got Zeke done. They got Jalen Smith done. They were unable to get Amari and Dak done in time, which meant they were going to have to expose one of them to the market. You're obviously, most teams are going to expose the receiver. They're not going to put the quarterback out there to be exposed to the market and potentially have somebody come in and negotiate it. So Dallas did. They franchise tagged Dak Prescott, and then they let Amari Cooper go to the market, and they were able to negotiate something, and it was fine. Here is who is expiring for the Dallas Cowboys right now. Micah Parsons, obviously going to be a top priority, shares an agent with George Pickens, David Mulugeta. Deron Bland, Jake Ferguson, and then now George Pickens. I think obviously everybody feels like a Micah, all the discussion from everybody sounds like a Micah deal will get done, we just don't know when.
Yeah.
The Bland front has been quiet. The Ferg front has been quiet. They're obviously not actively focusing on that right now because they got to figure out what they want to do with Micah. But if you're going to expose potentially one or two guys to the market between Ferguson, Bland, and Pickens, or you're going to wait on somebody, which guys are you picking here?
Ferg can be exposed first. Sorry, Jake. I love you. You know I love you. But he can be exposed first.
Dak has shown that he can, I don't want to say make a tight end, but he has shown that tight ends do very well with him.
Yeah. And then the season can answer for me the final question. What type of season does Bland have? And how good of a Boy Scout is Pickens? And are you really convinced of it? And that will answer my question. George is a pain in the ass. Go ahead, get his 70 catches, third round comp pick replacement, and sign Bland.
Yep.
If Bland is a little bit disappointing and Pickens, you're like, oh my gosh, it's clicking here, then re-sign George.
Let's say
if they both ball out, I'm leaning towards Pickens.
Yeah, so let's say I'll just throw you numbers. Let's say George Pickens this year is 65 receptions, 900 yards, 8 touchdowns for you. Really strong number two receiver production. If you get that out of George Pickens this year, you're probably a playoff team.
And what is the contract number per?
So here's what I'm saying. Let's say you don't get the deal done and he performs that way this season. Deron Bland, you don't get a deal done there. Let's say Bland is an all-pro at corner. He's four interceptions or something like that. It's not one of his big years, but he turns into a more disciplined corner who starts shutting guys down. So they both perform at a really great level. Which one are you franchise tagging to protect, and then which one are you exposing to the market?
If they're both at an all-pro level, or like not all-pro, but...
Because that's not all-pro, the Pickens numbers you just gave. I mean, they're right. Nice.
Like, Bland will be their number one corner,
If Bland's an all-pro, you absolutely
let's tailor back the franchise. Let's say he plays... I won't even put a title like all-pro on it. Let's just say... Four interceptions.
Pro Bowl.
He plays like, let's say he plays at a level Byron Jones did at the end of his time here in Dallas, where that's the type of player he is.
He'd make him a top eight corner.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, that's the guy. Because I think a top 10 corner is more difficult to find than a top 10 receiver.
Agreed.
Yeah, I think so. I also wonder what you've seen so far since you've paid CD versus since you've paid Diggs, does that also impact your decision of which one you feel you need to protect? Like, if Diggs is not showing you stability right now, do you feel like, well, I don't know that this has been settled? Whereas Lamb, I know I've got Lamb is here, and he's going to perform at a high level. Before we get to specifics of how George Pickens will be getting some favorable looks and how that might help him, we did reference earlier the 100 men versus one gorilla, and you just said you're willing to expose Jake Ferguson to the market potentially. You might change your mind given his thought process and really the football guy mentality that existed when he described the 100 men versus one gorilla recently.
I think if we, you put together a good group of guys, a couple women in there for sure. The key to the whole thing is the first 15 have to sacrifice their life. It has to happen. Because he's going to get some of us. We just have to have a great morale and a great vibe about everything. First 15 got to go. And then the rest of us, you know, like the bumblebees, how they all swarm on top and they just basically like, I don't know what the bees do, but they end up swarming them and suffocating them and kill them. That's my plan. But the first 15 got to go. So
he's actively talking about like, look, 15 of my friends are going to die, but we just got to have a good morale. Let's keep the vibes. The vibes up.
Yeah.
Let's not get down about our dead colleagues.
And listen, like Chia follow.
It does. With us, when he was talking with us, he knew about the integrity of the stadium, right?
Yeah.
When he was talking about the integrity of the stadium. And now he knows that bees flap their wings so fast to heat their body up. To burn the murder hornets.
How many bees or ants would have a better chance against the gorilla than 100 humans?
Oh, wow.
Oh, like, yeah, I don't know. Probably, like, what's the number that equals the chances of 100 men? I don't know.
Or better, or has better odds than
us.
Yeah,
the bees, I mean, I don't know the bees, what they would do to a... I mean, they probably couldn't even pierce the skin of a gorilla. The ants, though, you know, I mean, those things are terrible.
Let's ask,
hey, how many snakes?
One black mamba.
So I'm asking, I'm literally, since you said this, I just pulled up ChatGPT and I'm saying, how many bees do you think it would take to kill a gorilla? 5,000 to 6,000.
That's it.
5,000 to 6,000 stings would kill a gorilla.
Okay.
One inland Taipan bite.
So there you go. It's not so bad. All right. George Pickens, again, meeting with the media yesterday, also talked about how being here in Dallas is really advantageous to his ability to get open moving forward.
Super dynamic. CD is a super dynamic receiver, super dynamic person, player. I just feel like schematically you can't, you know, you won't be able to double everybody. So that'd be a great thing for me and him.
And look, CD plays a lot in the slot, but even, and it's not always easy to bracket a guy or to double a guy when he's playing in the slot. But he still gets doubled a lot because when he's on the outside, he's generally getting bracketed by a safety. But it's going to free things up a little bit. So him talking about being in an offense where you can't just double everybody up, it made me want to go look up, all right, what does it look like when George Pickens is single covered versus double covered? Like, is it some ridiculous drop off when he gets two defenders on him compared to when he's just single covered? Or is it, you know, he's just kind of league average regardless? So it's a massive difference. When he was doubled last year, he was doubled on a little over 28% of his routes. So basically one out of every four routes he ran, he was doubled. His targets when he was singled were once every four routes. When he was doubled, he was seeing the ball once every seven routes. His catch percentage was 65% when he was single covered. It was 32% when he was double covered. His yards per target when he was single covered were 9.5. And when double covered, it was 6.8. CD was doubled more frequently than Pickens in 2024. He saw double coverage 33% of the time, and that was with all those snaps in the slot. But when Pickens sees single coverage, his numbers are right about the same with CD's in single coverage.
With a worse quarterback.
It's just the double coverage is where he gets absolutely run. So last year, when double covered, here's what the passer ratings were when throwing to these receivers. CD Lamb, 93.4. Solid. It's not great. Solid. George Pickens, 74.2. That's bad. Jalen Tolbert, 126.9. Jalen Tolbert was the most efficient receiver in Dallas last year against double coverage.
And I was shocked to realize that Jalen Tolbert led them in touchdown catches.
Yeah.
I was shocked.
What, it was like seven last year? I think it was eight.
Never would have thought that.
So, I mean, you're talking about last year, Tolbert was essentially a more effective receiver in his opportunities against double coverage than George Pickens was. And George Pickens, we've talked about, contested catcher. I think when you've got a bad quarterback situation, when you're the focus of the defense completely, when they're bullying you, when maybe you tend to get a little down if you're not getting the ball as frequently, and clearly he's seeing the ball at about half the rate when he's double covered as opposed to when he's single covered, then he might have a tendency to check out of some games. If CD and George Pickens are both on the outside, if they're both lined up out wide, CD's getting the attention. CD's going to be the one that gets the attention, is going to be covered there. That's going to open things up to where George Pickens, when he's single covered, is essentially like having CD out there single covered, at least last year. The results were very similar. And like you said, John, worst quarterback situation, and the double coverage is just such a ridiculous drop off. He had 6 catches all last year against double coverage, George Pickens did. And that was running basically a quarter of his routes against double coverage.
Are we all fine with the combo of Turpin, Mingo, and Tolbert versus 8-9 million for Amari as your 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm all right with it.
I am too.
Yeah. Now I
don't want to allocate that resource. No. I saw some people say, just sign Amari too. And bam, yeah, right. Then you got the best wide receivers in the league.
Look, I can tolerate Jalen Tolbert as your number 3 receiver a lot easier. Like, it's a different conversation. Absolutely. Than we were talking about him being 2. Like,
there's no doubt.
He had a couple different moments last year where he stepped up. The Pittsburgh game against George Pickens was huge when he made that 4th down catch for the touchdown to win the game right there on the goal line. He made some big plays for you last year. It's just he's never going to be the guy that they thought they were getting. They thought they were getting a Michael Gallup replacement, and they got it in probably a way they didn't expect, which was some of the problems with mental toughness and different things like that. But, man, I think that Tolbert fitting into that 3 is going to be a lot more comfortable and be able to just kind of play his game. And George Pickens being here and seeing a lot more single coverage, the numbers show he is a much different receiver, a much more dynamic option, and one that, I mean, the Cowboys are going to be able to lean on as – I think it's going to be a potentially really explosive offense if this offensive line comes together the way that they think it can.
Well, look, if he sees a lot of single coverage, he's going to have a big year. And that means they're probably not going to be able to afford him the next year because he's going to want his $30 million. You know,
Which the tag is probably 28.
Yeah, the tag is 28. He thinks he's a 1, which I like. I like guys who think that they're better than they are. I like that. But also it means he's also going to be going to want to be paid like 1.
I mean, we really don't know who George Pickens is.
No, we don't.
George Pickens has not gotten a chance to play with any sort of stable quarterback play. He's not been able to play in any sort of offense that really prioritizes passing the ball from the offensive coordinator perspective. So this will be kind of a chance to see, all right, is he somebody who rises above and he's Terry McLaurin? Or is he like a flash in the pan and melts like Kelvin Benjamin or somebody like that?
B-Lo,
B-Belt,
every single day at this time on your official home of the Dallas Cowboys with our insider, Bobby Belt. Brand new segment, a lot of changes this week. Peyton Russell getting more. We got the red zone. And now we have the debut of Worst Take. Let's relive the week with the most dumbass thing said in the world of sports to kick off the final hour of Sean and RJ. Need your votes on the Franco & Franco Injury Attorney text line for the debut of Worst Take next.